Fighting audio difficulty, the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast plods on. Week 3 came with lots of surprises, including Waxahachie's big win over Ennis, Mansfield Summit beating Mansfield High, and Argyle finally getting stumped by Salina. Matt, Avi, and Corbett talk about all that. Plus, we interview Coach Joey McGuire of Cedar Hill, trying to break an 0-6 stretch for coaches who've appeared on the podcast. We've got all of that, plus previews of this week's big games, including Mansfield Lake Ridge and Lancaster, all coming up on the podcast. Week 4 is coming up. Week 3 in the books. It was a crazy week.
That was a very crazy week,
yeah. I'd say. Yeah. The Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we'll talk about all that. Hey, Matt Wixon, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Avi Zalen sitting across from me.
Hi.
No Greg Riddle, but the spirit of Greg Riddle here through some crazy, angry tweets. If you don't follow DM and Greg Riddle on Twitter, you absolutely should.
It's very entertaining on big Cowboys nights.
Oh, he is the
Rangers.
He is the height of sports pessimism at pretty much every level.
Takes will be hot.
Yeah, it's such hot takes, and I just really dig it. Okay, well, we'll talk about the games of the week. This is a crazy week, last week, week 3. And then we will hit an interview with Coach Joey McGuire in part 2 and then follow that up with games to watch. Now, this week's schedule a little bit light. It's not your normal average everyday, you know, gigantic schedule like you would normally see. Because
a lot
teams,
of bye weeks.
Yeah, you know, teams are on the bye. Ready to, take that 1 week break before they get into the heart of district play. But we do have district play starting up for a lot of districts currently, and we'll talk about some of those games there in part 3. Matt, you were at a really good game this week. I was at a really good game this weekend on Saturday. Skyline and Cedar Hill on Friday night, 2-2-0 teams. Certainly the marquee game of the week. Cedar Hill wins 20-10 over Skyline. Avery Davis, 2 rushing touchdowns. But that game was really kind of a little bit closer to the vest, even though Skyline couldn't put points on the board. They did a lot defensively.
Yeah, it was a lot more defensive than the recent Skyline Cedar Hill matchup. Certainly last year's, I think Skyline won 40-30. That probably has something to say about all the weapons that were on the field last year. And especially for Cedar Hill, they had an experienced offensive line. In this game, I think it's pretty fair to say that Skyline won the battle in the trenches kind of both ways because they're just fantastic.
I think Joe Wallace had 3.5 sacks or something crazy like that.
He had at least 3 that I remember because I'm visualizing him because he does celebrate them nicely. So I remember those. But he's a great player. And in fact, Joey McGuire, when I talked to him after the game, he said, we were kind of like trying to make it like mitigated, disaster or mitigated whipping, I think is the words he used, because he knew that his young offensive line was going to have a really tough time against that Skyline front, and they did. Avery Davis, quarterback for Cedar Hill, was on the run all night, and it was hard to sustain a lot of things. But, I came away from that game saying, well, Skyline's defense is really impressive. Their offense is, is pretty good, still kind of a work in progress. And, again, Cedar Hill, they look like a state contender because if their offensive line grows up and allows them to do some more things on offense, their defense is probably about as good as I've seen for a Cedar Hill team, and they've had some pretty good defenses.
It could have gotten a lot worse early in the first half for Skyline. They ended up getting 3 turnovers on downs forcing Cedar Hill's offense off the field. And even though Cedar Hill was leading 13-3, the game certainly wasn't out of hand. It could have been if they had not forced those stops. From that point, though, you get a nice drive to start the second half, 7 plays, 74 yards. DeLeon Ward gets a 2-yard touchdown to close it within 3, but that's as close as they can get. Cedar Hill scores right at the start of the fourth quarter.
And their defense had 2 key strips and recoveries. One of them was picked up and around midfield and ended a threat. That was when it was 13-10, Cedar Hill and Skyline had the ball back. And then late in the game, when Skyline was trying to get within 3, I believe, again, they had it down, deep, like a first and goal, and they got another strip, and I thought it was going to be a touchdown going the other way, but there was, I think, a block, illegal block on the play.
Well, the other game that I was talking about that I was at on Saturday was the Ulish Trinity Lancaster matchup at AT&T Stadium. Both 2-0, Lancaster, number one team in our Class 5A poll last week. Ulish Trinity was right up there. I think they were 3 last week and have jumped to 2 this week. But Trinity with a very, you know, convincing 26-14 win to go to 3-0. They rushed for over 300 yards. Jayron Wilson with 215 yards. Tyler Nanti with you know, 2 scores. And, you know, it was perfect Trinity in that when the game got close, you know, here comes a grinding Trinity drive, and they did exactly that on back-to-back drives. You know, Ryan Ross for Lancaster looked great. He threw for 280 yards, had a couple of touchdowns. Those touchdowns there in the second half brought them within a single score. At one point, it was 16-14, and Ulish Trinity had a fourth down that they converted and eventually scored on. And, you know, that was the difference. They're just a lot more physical up front, as you might imagine. But Lancaster, a good accounting of themselves, you know, certainly.
Number one still in our rankings, rightly so,
yep,
in 5A, because taking on a 6A, and not just a 6A power. And, yeah, they hung in there. And I think, as far as I know, they didn't have any, you know, big injuries coming out of there. I think it will serve Lancaster well playing a game like that. They're certainly going to be ready. God, they're playing a really tough district.
So. They do, and they're going to start to hit the ground running this week. So we'll talk about that there in part 2. But craziest results, I mean, there were crazy results all over the board. Here's a couple of them for you. I don't think anybody picked Arlington Martin to lose to South Grand Prairie, even though South Grand Prairie is a solid bunch.
Brandon was the only one that picked SGP.
Oh, well, there you go.
She let Twitter know about it.
Oh. That's good. 28-20 South Grand Prairie with that, and
it was, I believe it was 17-3 Martin at one point.
No, it was 27 at half.
Okay,
Martin was up. You know, they'd gotten another special team score, a block punt recovery in the end zone. That was one of their touchdowns. But, you know, what can you say about Greg Eisworth, the quarterback there, who's going to Ole Miss for South Grand Prairie? He had 2 second half passing touchdowns. He had had a rushing touchdown in the first half. And then he has a game-clinching 40-yard interception return there with about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes to go in that game.
Not many big-time quarterbacks who can do, you know, they'll put in there on defense, but that's not unusual.
Brett Woodson says when it's crunch time, he's going to put his best players on the field.
If you have that kind of athlete and that kind of smart player, yeah, you're going to put them on the field wherever you need them.
So that game was a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a huge shocker, but how about this? Waxahachie, the Fighting Kittness.
Right.
Just go all upside the head.
It wasn't even, and Ennis had to claw back for most of that game.
Yeah, I think they were up on Ennis. The final score was 38-20, and Ennis had a shot there to make it happen. They had had a couple of really quick scores. I think they had a 2-play drive or a 3-play drive and a 1-play drive to get back in it because at halftime it was 31-7. Those scores got them back, but they could not stop Waxahachie on the subsequent possession. I think they converted a third down, third and short, somewhere around midfield. That if the Ennis could have got a stop, they would have got the ball back and maybe kept that machine, that momentum going. But Kennedy Snell rushes for 152 yards, 3 scores. Jordan Kitna with 2 rushing touchdowns, and that moves Waxahachie all the way up the queue. I mean, they were down in there, and you know, I'm thinking,
because that was a really quality win.
Oh, absolutely! I mean, you're talking about beating the defending state champs in Ennis.
You could make a case for them to be number one.
Absolutely, unbeaten now.
There's a lot of teams in 5A floating around right now.
5A is always
5A is wide open. Crazy. But there's not a lot of unbeaten teams in 5A near the top. And in back-to-back weeks, they beat a pretty good Azel team soundly last Saturday, and then this past week to beat Ennis, drop Ennis to 1-2, and beat them more convincingly than Guyer beat them. 6A Guyer. I'm very impressed with what they've done. We'll see though, moving forward, where they fit in that playoff race. You talk about a crazy playoff race in 14th 5A. I think Lancaster is deserving of where they are right now. But I think I even considered Mansfield Lakeridge jumping them up. Mansfield Summit goes all up the side of
6A Mansfield.
Mansfield, which nobody saw coming. 44-28, Braden Nolan, their quarterback, throws for 252 and a two touchdowns. Derek Johnson with two rushing touchdowns. You've got them. You've got Timberview, who has lost to Ennis, but has had put some nice wins together, beat Waco Midway in a really nice win this week. You've got an unbeaten Arlington Seguin. You've got one, I don't even know if they have one loss, Legacy. Mansfield Legacy in that district. You've got team after team after team after team. There's going to be not just one team miss the playoffs that's good. There's going to be three
right.
or four that miss the playoffs that are would be district title champ contenders in other spots.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of years we can have a debate about, you know, who's the deepest district, the toughest district. Certainly in 5A right now, there's no debate.
I don't even think there's a debate in any classification. I know that people in 6-6A might argue. 6-6A did start up this week. There was
and
a couple
was
of districts. You know, it was kind of sort of interesting because the favorites, I thought, were clear favorites in every game. And Allen did beat McKinney Boyd. Marcus did beat Louisville. And Plano East did beat Flower Mound, as expected. But there was one surprise, and that was 2-0 Plano. That was in the top 10 in our rankings. They lose in overtime to 0-2 Hebron, 35-28. Brandon Stevens has a good night, but Clay Toon, the star of the night, 281 in the air and three touchdowns. And congratulations to Coach Brazel. But, man, that is not what you want from Plano if you're Jadon McCullough, because talk about a district where you can't start losing games early.
Because there's nine schools in the district, and so you can play eight games. And, yeah, it's going to be a mess around that third, fourth, fifth position, I imagine. And Hebron, I know they've had some tough seasons in the last couple seasons, but Coach Brazel's been there a long time, of course, won a championship about 10 years ago or so, and has had a lot of success there. I think they are a tough team, and they're just scary each year. If you don't put them away, which I guess Plano was up, 14 points,
right?
And then Hebron rallied and got it into OT. But you're right, that district, you have to take what you can when you can, because you're talking about now for Plano, they've got a loss. They still need to play Allen, Marcus, Boyd,
yeah,
West. Well, and you
West
know,
and East,
and
I mean,
even Louisville's. Yeah. You know, there's going to be tough games.
They're going to have to really win a lion's share of those games, you know, to get back in that playoff race. Now, 14-5A, another district that started up. And I didn't see these scores coming. The Colony 70 to 43 against Heritage.
Well, yeah, they decided to start scoring this week. It's a good time to start first game of district. And, yeah, that's another district you're not going to be able to figure out very easily. Heritage was 2-0 coming into that game. The Colony was 0-2. And I think I first saw the score, maybe it was in the late first quarter, 21-0. I was like, oh. It's just
right.
High school football is hard to predict, and there are some districts that are even to predict. And I think that district, you know, it's the Frisco schools plus the Colony and Little Elm. And last year, what did they have? Like, going into the last week, they had like 16 scenarios where Frisco Heritage could win the district
or miss
the playoffs completely. And the Colony needed like 21 points in the fourth quarter just to get in the playoffs. And then they almost beat Ennis in the playoffs. So
right.
It's what makes football fun.
Khalil Banks with 288 and five touchdowns on the ground. John Crow with 156 yards and rushing and a touchdown. A just completely solid win for Rudy Rangel and his bunch. And they vault up now as to one of the contenders for that district title. You know, they had two disappointing losses, one to Saginaw, one to Corsicana. That loss to Corsicana doesn't look so bad because Corsicana is now 3-0. The other game of note, I think, from teams that were both, you know, playoff considerations, you know, as far as who we think will be in the mix, Frisco Lone Star and Wakeland. Lone Star 60-27. Jason Shelley has one of those, you know, nights. He has four incompletions, six touchdowns, rushes for 180 yards and a score. That was a dominating performance by Lone Star, who I now think is the favorite.
But it's a week to week.
It is a week to week thing because you talk about getting punched in the teeth. There's a favorite that happens to every week in that district.
Centennial had off this week, didn't they?
Centennial did not play. I think it was Liberty picking up a win over Independence.
Right.
And who am I missing? Frisco beat a little out.
Yeah.
So Centennial with a bye, but Centennial also certainly in that mix. couple of scores from the lower classifications, a class 4A matchup. Now, granted, these are in different divisions, but Argyle and Salina played each other, a very familiar matchup. And Salina at home, that's a surprising win, 46-36. They looked really good. Connor Pingleton, their quarterback, a great night, two passing touchdowns, 167 yards, almost 200 yards rushing, two scores. Jaron Alexander rushes for three touchdowns and 222 on the ground. You don't see Todd Rogers' teams lose like that.
Giving up that kind of
Giving up that many points. So it'll be interesting to see what he does moving forward. But Salina, you've got to like their chances going forward. Although, you know, they did lose to a kind of a buzzsaw last year in Gilmer,
right,
in the state semifinals. No shame there. It'll be interesting to see what they do this week against a TAPS opponent. We'll talk about that in part three. The other game of note, it was a 4A, 5A matchup, and this was a really impressive win to me. Kaufman at 2-0 beats Terrell 28-12. Drew Prox with 132 rushing yards at two scores. That's a pretty good Terrell bunch to be able to beat them, even though they're playing at home. Congratulations to Kaufman. They'll get tested this week, and we'll talk about that later in part three. Well, coming up, we've got an interview with Coach Joey McGuire, so stick with us. Now joining us with part two is Coach Joey McGuire from Cedar Hill. Coach, I've got to warn you first. We've talked to Rockwall Coach Rodney Webb. We've talked to Arlington Martin Coach Bob Wager. We talked to Skyline Coach Derek Roberson. Combined, after talking with us, they are 0-6 this season. Please break the streak for us. I mean, maybe not this week against Coppell. I'm not going to, you know, wish you, you know, success over one team, because, you know, we as sports writers can't necessarily do that. But please don't go on a long losing streak because of us. It's making us look bad.
Hey, the plan is to win this week, so we'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, Skyline's problem was they played you guys. If they had played somebody else, they would have broke the streak last week.
I hear you.
Well, Coach, you know, thank you very much for joining us. You guys never schedule an easy schedule, it seems like, and this year's no different. Sock to open the season, Bowie in week two, and then Skyline in week three. You've got Coppell this week. You know, why so difficult a schedule? Do you guys ever feel like you need to ease up a little bit? Because your district is not one of those districts where you're going to have any easy games.
You know, it goes back to 2009. We were undefeated and ended up getting beat by Abilene in the third round, and they ended up going on and winning it. And if you go back to that 2019, it's probably one of the best we've ever had. But we didn't have a really tough schedule. The only team that had really maybe a good year that year was Trinity. We ended up beating them. But we played a lot of teams where we were scoring 50 and 60 points. And whenever we got into a game that was a close game, we weren't tested. And, man, I still think about that loss. It gets me fired up anytime I think about it. And so from that moment, we tried to change and start scheduling, making our non-district tougher to where we were in games like playoff-type atmosphere games.
Is there offense where it needs to be? It seems like you guys aren't gaining a ton of yards, but I know you're replacing a lot up front. Have you been happy with the development over the last couple of games?
Well, you know, we've got some really good skill players, and Avery Davis is playing really well right now. He played great against Bowie and Skyline in tough games where he had to go make plays. Caden Williams had a really good game. You know, Marquise Foreman has really been doing a great job at running back. I thought that Caden kind of had his big coming out party on some runs against Skyline. But we're up front, we're so young, and we're going to get so much better. And plus, we get some weapons back throughout the year on offense. But our big deal right now is we're focusing on that offensive line and trying to get better up front.
Jalen Jackson's been out with an injury. Is he going to be able to come back sometime soon, or is that going to be later in the season?
It'd probably be week 8 against DeSoto. I mean, he is way ahead of schedule, but, you know, that's going to be a deal where we're going to go 6 months out off of that ACL. Even though he's probably a month ahead of schedule, we're not going to push it. And then, you know, this week we should get, we'll find out today, we should get Charleston Rambo back. He had a torn ligament in his thumb, so we should get him back today. So that adds a weapon in the receiving corps. Richie Washington's another running back that we should get back at some point in the next 4 weeks. You know, we got a couple guys banged up against Bowie that we thought we might have lost one for the year, but we didn't. We'll get them both back probably in 4 to 5 weeks, Demetri Moore and Donovan Runnels. So as long as we can stay healthy, then we've got some more guys coming.
It seems like, Coach, you guys on defense not only have coming up with big stops when you need it, you guys really thrive with turnovers, and not just, you know, I was at the Skyline game, and obviously you did there, but you've done it, you know, back in the championship games against Katy and things like that. And that's, is that just something you preach every year about, you know, how much a game-changing moments those can be?
Without a doubt, you know, one thing that we, there's a stat, it was funny, I was listening to 105 this morning, they were talking about the Cowboys shooting one last night, and they're right. In the NFL, they did a study, I think it was from like 2003, 2011, if you get three or more turnovers, you win 92% of your game. And so that's a huge stat for us. I mean, if you think about just that one stat alone, if you would concentrate on that, on defense, how much better you'd be. At Cedar Hill, when we've gotten three in the going on 13 years now, that we've never lost a game. So our number one goal on defense, of course, is to win, but to win calls three turnovers. And, you know, that comes in maybe a, you know, a fourth down stop or an interception or a fumble. You know, we count those, you know, the fourth down stop as a turnover. And we're able to get three against Skyline, and that made a huge difference. And then it's such a momentum swing. I mean, I always tell our kids it's kind of like we're going to get excited about, you know, a big-time revival at church. We're going to get up on our toes, and we're going to get spiritual. And you watch our kids just celebrate turnovers like no other.
Coach, Avery Davis is completing 65% of his passes. He's thrown six touchdowns, no picks. But I haven't seen him, at least on the stat sheet, rip off some of those big, long runs that he did a year ago. Are you trying to kind of encourage him to use his weapons and be patient and not necessarily try to make plays with his feet until you get farther along?
Well, it's kind of, you know, he had a pretty good run against Skyline. He had a 68-yard run against Bowie that was a touchdown. It was just phenomenal. But what we're trying to do is, you know, we're using Kagan Williams some in the shotgun, the Wildcat. That sounds crazy when you have a true dual-threat quarterback, but we're trying to limit some of the carries that he has early in the season. And then the one really good thing about Avery, and, you know, he had a touchdown against Bowie doing this, is, I mean, he's going to go through his progressions. I mean, even though he's a dual-threat quarterback, he's not a guy that's going to just pull it down and run it whenever he can sit in the pocket or step up in the pocket and make a throw. So he reminds me a little bit of Dreyfus like that, that he'll prolong the play to throw the football versus prolong the play and then pull it down and tuck it. So I think you're seeing some of that. Without a doubt, whenever you get into a one-game season like the playoffs, you know, you're going to see him run the ball and us be more deliberate in him running the football. But right now, you know, it's kind of a mixture of the two, trying to make sure that he's not taking a bunch of hits and then doing it whenever we need it.
It's a long season, you guys expect to be in that week 16. So,
Coach, I'm a little curious about y'all's progression from week 2 to week 3. You know, Bowie gave you a little bit of a scare there, and then you guys come out against a very good Skyline team and beat them 20-10. I'm wondering, as a team, what did you guys learn from that Bowie game, and what were you able to put into action against Skyline?
Well, it's kind of a mixture of Bowie and us. You know, I told Danny DeArmond's a really good friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time. And the first thing, whenever I got to the game on Friday and put my arm around him, I said, don't panic. You know, you're a really good football team. I think they're kind of like us and somewhat still searching for an identity. I think they found some of that identity against us, and it really gave us fits. You know, and I think the pace of play with them against us early, our kids weren't ready for that. You know, they did a lot of now and hurry-up plays. So hats off to them. I think sometimes, you know, whenever you play a game and you have a really young team and you play so well against South Oak Cliff, sometimes they feel themselves a little bit, you know, and we had talked about that all week. We kind of had that feeling. So Bowie came out and was ready to play faster than we were. So I think it was good for our kids. You want to win the game, but it was a little bit of an eye-opener. And we knew we couldn't do that against Skyline. I mean, I'll tell you this. Their front six and the way their linebackers time blitzes and their front four defensive line, that's probably, you know, I could go back to Katie in 2012 and Garland in 2006, South Lakes defense, whenever they won it, and I think it was 2011. You know, those were the best defenses we had faced, and man, Skyline was right up there, not the best.
Well, Coach, we thank you for joining us. We'll close with our three questions segment. Which Cedar Hill graduate, current, or it could be a current player, do you expect to see on an NFL sideline someday?
Quincy Adebojo, without a doubt. You know, he had a huge week this week, 118 yards receiving, three touchdowns. I think he's the next guy that you're going to see. I'll say that Dreyfus is a senior, and I think Dreyfus is going to have a chance. Dreyfus Jackson, quarterback at Rice, is going to have a chance to catch on with somebody.
Well, we'll get to Quincy here in just a second. Who do you prefer? Well, which show do you prefer? Do you prefer the TV show Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues, the movie? Right now, Friday Night Lights is leading 2-1.
Well, my son's going to pick Friday Night Lights, but I'm going to go with Varsity.
There we go. Nice comeback there for Varsity Blues. And final question, Richard Moore and Texas A&M face Quincy Adebojo and DeMarcus Lodge and Ole Miss on October the 24th. Who do you have in that game?
Well, there's a quarterback. I know he's not starting it. He's going to play for Texas A&M. And I never bet against Kyler Murray if he's going to step on the field. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
Joey McGuire from Cedar Hill, thank you very much for joining the Sports Day HS podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Part three. Matt.
Yes.
You're going to be some good spots this week. Are you doing a Thursday night game this
week?
No,
I'm not.
I am doing the best Thursday night game, although you do have to drive to Belton, so I'm not so entirely sure how I'm fired up about that.
In the gut.
But DeSoto, you know, they picked up a win last week, and they're 1-2. We will see where they are, though, against a Cibolo Steel team that is always prepared. That game is at Mary Hardin Baylor, which has a beautiful new facility there in Belton. I think it's a couple of years old. That is a Thursday night, 7 o'clock kickoff. I'll be there with a cadre of Texas media mafia folks, as they like to call themselves.
It's a good game. You know, yeah, lots of prospects and stuff.
Lots of prospects out. For the scouts. Ben Baby of the San Antonio Express News, I expect to be there as Matt Stepp from the old coach. So we will, I'll have some good times there in the Belton press box.
A cadre?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a new one.
A little social hour before
the Well, I think they're having a little shindig at a barbecue restaurant as apropos of sports writers to do some eating before a football game. Other games of note on Thursday. How about the Colony Frisco? Talk about the Colony with a big win. Now they're going to have to
follow it up
with a game against Frisco, the Raccoons at home at Frisco ISD Memorial Stadium.
A couple of teams that like to run the ball. So if you don't have a lot of time and you want to see a good game, that one should be over in 2 hours.
The other game in that district on Thursday night will also be a barn burner. Heritage cannot afford to fall 0-2 to start the season, but they're playing in Toyota Stadium against Centennial, and that's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah, that's a very tough matchup. Centennial has had 2 weeks to prep for that one.
Yeah, Tyler Lee with a big win last week over Tyler Don. Tyler goes to on the road to play Sachse on Thursday night at Williams Stadium at 7 o'clock. That should also be a very intriguing Thursday night matchup. Friday night, it's about district games, and there's a couple of really interesting non-district games smushed up in that schedule. I think the game of the night, without a doubt, is a non-district game between Coppell and Cedar Hill, just because I like, you know, putting the pressure on Coach McGuire to turn our fortunes around here at the Sports Day HS podcast. I hope the best for all teams that we talk about, but I don't want every coach that we talk to.
We don't need this
because we're gonna lose coaches. Yeah, we're gonna have one week where it's just
we're gonna be talking. Let's talk to North Garland's cheerleader sponsor. That's what it could end up. district games, I think, will dominate the interest there. Hebron, Flower Mound Marcus. Hebron, can they continue doing what they're doing? Marcus has looked really good. And it's been very impressive what Jerry Stanford and his bunch of kids have done. Plano and Allen, it's not a good way to start the season with that Hebron loss. Then have to go to Allen, who's won 46 straight. They looked really good last week. Being a very interesting ball game there. McKinney Boyd hosts Flower Mound, which I think they're the prohibitive favorite there. But West and East face off in what could eventually be a playoff decider there for that fourth spot. So interesting there. 11-6A starts up. Although I guess we did just talk about Tyler Lee and Saxey, but there's some really interesting matchups here. North Garland, break up the band.
2-1.
2-1 facing an 0-3 Rockwall team who lost in a heartbreaking way there on Friday night at AT&T Stadium. They
Rockwall has
back.
Played Trinity.
That's true.
Horn. And who did they open up against?
Who did they open up against? Somebody really good.
It was a good team.
They lost to Horn.
Oh, Denton Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They lost to Horn on the last second field goal. There's really no shame in that. Garland, Lakeview Centennial, and Rowlett, though.
Oh, that's good.
I really like that one. Lakeview Centennial, I picked them to beat to Arlington, and Matt Dix from the old coach was giving me sass about that. I'm like, I don't know, Kendall Miller. I've got a lot of respect for Coach Miller. He did great things at Sauk. We'll see what he does there. They haven't really had a season where they've completely turned it around at Lakeview Centennial, but this could be it. They're 3-0 facing a Rowlett team that's licking its wounds after Tyler Tutt rushes for 300 yards and scores five touchdowns.
Rowlett will put up like 500 yards of offense, but it's a matter of they need to stop somebody.
Logan Bonner is a dude can play.
Mm-hmm.
Other games of note, how about 12-5A play? They start up on Friday night. Rockwall Heath at Mesquite Poteet. Could be for the district title this early, although West Mesquite will have something to say about it, but that is a very important game early. But maybe the game, this is probably the true game of the night, and that is where Matt Wixon will be, and that is Lancaster at Vernon Newsom Stadium facing Mansfield Lakeridge, a team that I very strongly considered putting at the top of my 5A rankings.
Yeah.
They've been really impressive with some nice wins. That certainly is a team that's of note. Other games in that district, Arlington, Seguin, and Timberview.
That's a good
one. At R.L. Anderson. And Legacy travels to Waxahachie to see Fightin' Kitnas if they can keep it rolling. They are 3-0 at this point. Non-district games on the slate, Bishop Lynch and Salina. I think that's an intriguing one. Bishop Lynch, has been pretty good the last couple of years. Salina, of course, coming off that really
That was a vintage Salina win.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of rushing yards.
We've talked about Coppell and Cedar Hill. How about Euless Trinity going on the road to Waco's McLean Stadium to face Galena Park North Shore, always a team that's kind of in the same build as Trinity. Like to run the ball. They're not a lot of flash and dash, but they'll always grind. That'll be interesting to see what Trinity does, against yet another good opponent. They've really played a tough schedule. And Kaufman, coming off that win, they get a pretty tough task in Kennedale, our number three ranked team. They got bumped down since Argyle got beaten.
Right.
I think they lost a spot in our rankings. But that's 3-4 in the Sports Day HS.
Well, I was so impressed by Kaufman's win last week. I wanted to move him up, but then, you see what's above him. Excuse me. Can't really do it. That's a really strong top four in those rankings.
Absolutely. Waco Midway has taken it just like on the chin with some Metroplex teams. They go and play at Duncanville. Let's see what Duncanville does. A nice win over Mesquite last week.
Mm-hmm.
That was Coach Sample's first win there. And then a real light Saturday schedule. Spend it with your kids and family. unless you are fans of Molina or Samuel or McKinney Christian, because there's just three games on the Saturday slate.
Yay, families.
Yeah, well, it's...
Or if you don't have a family, you can still have fun.
College football.
There's always other types of activities.
I'm just throwing it out there, just saying.
Right.
Okay, well, make sure you go catch Molina play Fort Worth Paschal at Farrington Field. Paschal. Break up the band. 2-0 for Matt Miracle, first year coach.
I tell you what, that Saturday slate though was a bit of a blessing. If I mean, this past Saturday was pretty much all day from 11 a.m. until the wee hours of the night.
Yeah, that had kind of a first couple weeks of playoffs feel where there's just game.
Yay!
Well, Saturdays are going to free up, so there is that.
I tell you what, there's
Matt,
also
any final thoughts?
No, just. I think it's been as unusual or as topsy-turvy in early season as I can remember in recent years, especially 5A, which I can't really figure out. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when district play starts up in a lot of these things.
Yeah, and just piggybacking off of that, I mean, it's like we're so quick to draw these conclusions about teams like after non-district play, and then people don't realize, I mean, it's a long season. Well, I mean, you know, not super long, but there's still so much left. And it just reminds me of, you know, last year when I was in Beaumont, we were covering Nederland, and Nederland went 0-3 to begin district. And people were like, oh, the sky's falling. They're not as good as the. And then they ran the table, I think, in district. Or they lost last game, but they still, you know, tied for first in district.
The story got a lot worse as you kept on telling it. Well, they were
They did lose the last game, but I mean, it's just,
and it was 100-0. Right. But no, I'm just kidding.
And they got bounced the first round of the playoffs.
And believe me, we've had
it's early
ones like that. I mean, Denton Geyers are classic, or they were, you know, back when in 4A. But they always play the big schools, and then okay, now just win, you know, 8 in a row, and then
right. Yeah. That's the way it goes around here. There are teams that will pick stuff up in district play. And continue that momentum deep into the playoffs, as you might expect. Well, for Avi Zalin and Matt Wixon, I'm Corbett Smith. Thanks for listening. Remember, Sports Day HS has a new mobile site. It's beta.sportsdayhs.com. Looks great on your mobile browser. Looks pretty good on the desktop, but certainly optimized for the mobile site. Avi.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just want to say we're beta, which means we're still tweaking things. So it's okay if you, like, don't like it immediately, or you think there's things that you should be changed, and you can send those suggestions to us through the various channels that we make available to you on social media, through email, through calling and leaving me angry voicemails, like whatever. It's
sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's okay.
Crummy.
Yeah. So if you see something that you're like, hey, I like the app better, can't you guys do this? Well, maybe we can do that, and we just need to know, you know, what y'all want out of it, and we can change it to those specifications.
We are still making improvements, but it does look great on a mobile browser.
So just a reminder, I mean, we were offering live scoring just like before. I mean, that's something, go on, pick your favorite team and bookmark that page. And I can't emphasize enough that how unique it is that you're able to choose your favorite team and just cater the entire website to what's impactful to that team, whether it be stats, whether it be schedules, whether it be stories. We want to be able to personalize it to the best of our ability.
There you go. Hey, make sure you put it on your mobile browser. Thanks, guys.
Bye.